car, Chris, you're right. You need the route from A to B as far as now and getting to a World Drivers Championship. The path of the line of least resistance is always having a number one and a number two. And if you have Sir Lewis Hamilton, to quote my guy Peter Windsor, then I'm not sure.
It's your dude Jay from Wolfpack, and welcome back to another episode of Performance Talk, where I bring the industry to you and some motivation too. So look, you never know where you're going to find performance. It could be in a garage, it could be at the track, or just in the studio. But either way it goes, we're going to get you where you need to go. So let's get on with the show.
What's going on? Welcome back to the Wolves Den. And if you're here, it's because you're VIP. If you're not, it doesn't mean you can't be. It just means you got to be a Wolfpack family member. You get in where we have awesome guests like my brother today, Cameron F1, gracing the Wolves Den. You get the opportunity to ask him questions verbally, not just leave a comment and then hope he gets back to you. The man is busy. He's really, really busy. But this opportunity gives you a chance to say, hey, Cam, what do you think about this? How do you feel about that? And Cam will respond to those things. But first, how you doing, brother?
I'm all right, bruv. I'm all right. It's been a busy week, but I'm not looking to taint your Wolves Den with negativity, man. Positivity always. Just build it. We're going forward, progressive by nature, man. But it's been a busy week, Jay. Thank you for asking, sir, brother.
In fact, you know, bro, we have been talking about this, but you know, it takes some time. We both be busy, be on schedule. We already get together on the weekend, man. It's now things have kind of died down a little bit. So we got opportunity to be a little bit more liberal with our time as far as content creation. So you know that, man, we're going to be in and out of each other's platforms from here on out. We're building and going up.
Absolutely, bro.
So let's get into some of these conversations, bro.
All right.
Yeah, you already know we got to do it. We got to do it. And you know how we do sometimes. So y'all don't mind. You all may see a sibling dynamic between me and my brother, right? It's me, Nasha, and Cam. And when we get together, we have like a sibling dynamic with each other, all right? So let's talk about Ferrari's choices, man. How do you feel about the situations or deals with Ferrari? Binotto is out. You know, I think we had talked about it before, and I have said it a couple of times, like, hey, that dude, you can't walk off pit wall like that, bro. You can't do things like this and think you're going to keep your job, bro. You can't do it. How do you feel about it?
Oh, bro, it's layered, isn't it? That's the issue, Jay. It's multi-layered. I suppose if you get down to the nuts and bolts, the brass tacks, I'm not sure, you know, whether Binotto has to take 100% of the blame. Because, listen, there's lots of things going on, isn't there, Jay? Strategic issues, operational mistakes, prioritising the conflicting demands. Banco Santander want Carlos Sainz to be the number one, but clearly, very clearly, if we're talking about pace, Charles Leclerc is the guy. So how do you balance that, Jay? We'll pose the question back to you, bruv. If you're going to pick at one thing to solve first and foremost, what's the first thing that you solve there? Because you're trying to juggle a gazillion balls, Jay. Woe betide the next person that tries to be Ferrari team principal, sir, because I don't know where I would start. And we've both managed people before, Jay, but that just feels like it's a bit of a poison chalice, mate. Best manager in the world couldn't deal with that, because I feel like there are too many holes in that pail of water for even Ross Brawn, mate. Ross Brawn takes that job, which he's not going to. Ross can't manage that.
I don't think so.
Ross can't manage that. He's going to
be manage enforcing cost cap. Let's not do that.
Or implement it properly, Jay, at least. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But it's techie, bro. It's techie. I feel like Binotto is a patsy, as Lee Harvey Oswald would have said way back in the day. Bit of a patsy, man. It's deeper seated than just Mattia, bless him.
I agree.
But ultimately, they had to move, didn't they? They had to be seen to be doing something, even if that wasn't the root cause of the problem. But in summary, Jay, root and branch change is what's necessary, what needs to happen to bring Scuderia Ferrari to the back of to the back. Yeah, Freudian slip.
Right, that's where they went to the back.
But you know,
But
the joke is, Jay, I was listening to a podcast earlier in the day, and they were saying that power unit-wise, if you were going to back a horse, no pun intended again, Jay, then you would back the Ferrari power unit. Here's what the deed said. Techie AJ, here's what the deed said. He goes, just because you can't make substantive improvements to your power unit between now and 2026, all you can do is fix reliability. So he's saying Ferrari have done a clever move in making a very fast, powerful power unit that's littered with reliability issues.
Right.
So they've maxed out their potential, their uppermost ceiling, but they're just, they've got themselves 4 years to fix reliability. I don't know, Jay.
Hey, I've heard that before several times, that Ferrari has basically opened a scalded dog out. And then because they have, now they have the time to just make the powerful motor more reliable as they go forward. I'm not too sure about that. And I also don't know how that also, how your clients look at that. Like Haas.
I agree.
Alfa Romeo, how do they look at that? Because the Ferrari power unit also crippled some of their races as well. You know, so that's not a situation I think is good. Like if Ferrari was acting solely on their own and they only had themselves to be concerned with, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you would have to have the buy-in from your clients as well to be like, hey, if there's something that we're going to be doing, we're also willing to sacrifice our seasons and our positions in the driver and World Constructor Championships for the fact that you all are going to get this power unit together within these 4 years. And I just think that's a lot of trust for competitive teams, although I'm buying a power uniform.
You know what, Jay? I will see that and I will raise you corporate sponsorship title sponsors. Yeah. What they don't want to see is their sponsorship labels on the side of a red car burning up in flames. That, Jay, is not a good look. And they need to turn, whatever they did, they need to turn it around quick. I don't think they've got four years to sort out the reliability issues. And nobody wants a bloody season like we saw last. Come on, Ferrari. You should have been the guys and girls taking it to Max Verstappen in that rocket ship of an RB18. You were the ones, right? We saw at Bahrain that they had the package capable, the requisite speed to nail Red Bull and Verstappen. They were the quickest qualifiers on average over the course of the 22 races. So what are we doing? A non-entity of a championship. What we didn't see was competition. And I blame Scuderia Ferrari for that, Jay. I'm not hating.
I do too.
I'm not bitter.
I do too.
I'm not bitter though.
Not a little bit. Not just a little bit. Not a little bit. I do. I blame them as an organization as a whole. Like I said, drivers definitely made some errors, but like I told people going through the course of the season, I feel like the team as a whole failed the drivers more than the drivers failed the team.
I know
we saw Charles make some bonehead decisions, but how many other times did we see Charles out there like Free Willy and no Captain Ahab living the best life and for a power unit to fail? Dude got Carlos trying to hop out of there like he working for NASA and a booster rocket just caught on fire. I mean, come on, man. I know Carlos cut enough grass thinking that the Ferrari was a Toro or a damn Troy built lawnmower sometimes, but I'm just saying, man, like the tire strategies, the pit lane, the power units, it's just, you know, it was just too much. I think overall, I don't think Mattia is the only thing that needs to be changed. I think the culture of Ferrari needs a slap in the face to realize, although you are Formula One's love child and you get this longest standing bonus all the damn time, which is crazy, you got to live up to those standards. And you're not looking like that right now.
Bro, you touch on something that's really important. And again, this is coming from the guys and girls on the paddock, on the grid. Ferrari currently have a culture of blame, right? And it's suffocating. What you want to do, I don't know if you heard Otmar talking about this. He talked about having a no blame culture and balancing that with accountability. No blame doesn't mean no accountability, said Otmar. Right. At Ferrari, though, it's pure blame. Hence why you've got these guys and girls scared to think out of the box and make a decision that's non-conventional, right? They're scared, Jay. Scared, literally. Hence why you see Charles in the car. Oh, do you think meek and mild? Should we do this, guys? Do you think this is a...
Right.
Why am I on intermediates at Brazil? Like, these guys are scared. The only one that strikes me as keen to swim up tide, Carlos Sainz Jr., ironically, because he doesn't have the pace. But what he lacks for in pace, he has in assertiveness, right, Jay?
Right.
He's the one that's going to tell them, you know what, Monaco, yeah? I'm pitting once, and I'm going to put on the red-labeled soft tyres. I'm not doing this into strategy.
Right.
But Charles kind of needs to grow a pair a little bit, man. But
he does. I said that in my last video when they talked about he's got to. That's one thing that I give Carlos over Charles, man. He's the more analytical observant driver, that he's going to implement that. And like I said, I think people shit on Carlos a little bit too much. Like I said, 9-11, he's like only a couple of podiums off from Charles in that season. But I understand Charles definitely, if I got to, he edges him out on pace, like you said. But I think, like I said, in elite sports, an organization, if they believe in their players, that they have the talent and the ability, if somebody can put these ingredients together, they're not going to get rid of the players. They're going to get rid of the coach. At worst, the general manager, and in this case, Benotto.
Had to go.
So let's move on to something else, brother, man. Let's move on to domestic disputes.
God.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Had a fear.
You know it was coming.
Go on, talk
Max
to me.
And Perez.
Oh, my.
Do you think Perez stays with Red Bull, extends with Red Bull beyond 2024?
Bloody no, Jay. I think so. I think they've checkmated in bringing Danny Rick in there. Just listen, behave yourself, Checo, because for the avoidance of doubt, we now have Danny Rick in this third driver ambassador role. So if you step out of line, mate, you're gone, because we can switch you out for Danny Rick quicker than ever. I know they've got all these junior drivers, but we're never going to switch out a junior driver for Checo, right? No. I think Checo is still the guy. He's still, in my opinion, that the best second driver, aside from the guys at Merck, of course, I still think he's Mexican Minister of Defense, Jay. We've seen what he went on with last year. I mean, come on, Abu Dhabi, Brazil. Lewis must have got sick and tired of seeing the back of his gearbox. I mean, you basically cost Lewis Hamilton a title if you're Checo Perez. For want of a better, I'm simplifying a little bit, Jay.
Right, of course.
But he was that good a second driver. So I think Red Bull will be keen to hang on to him. And ultimately, you know what, Jay? I had empathy to Checo Perez at Abu Dhabi and Brazil over the past couple of weekends. I did. I felt bad for him. But you know what, Jay? Take some accountability, Don Checo Perez. Take some accountability, sir, because if you'd shut your mouth and you'd been a bit political, manage stakeholder expectations at Abu Dhabi, they probably wouldn't have even brought you in. They only brought you in, because you were telling Max to hurry up and they didn't want a repeat of Brazil. And then, you know what, bench that. Put a pin in that for a second, Jay. How about, you've got one of the most dominant cars that we've seen over the last 15, 20 years, and you're still fighting for second at race 22. What's that about, Jay? That don't make sense. Let's be frank and honest. That don't make sense. If Max Verstappen can wrap up the championship with races to go, then what's Checo playing at? Bless anybody that's in the chat that's a Checo fan, but I think we've got to talk it real, man. He's all the stuff. Yeah, Max didn't play nice, and he's reprehensible, of course, for not sixth place. Come on, Max. You couldn't give him sixth place even. Sixth.
Right.
Sixth,
right.
Jay.
I think two things can be true.
Yeah, this bang. I'm glad that you said it. But which one of them is more true? I think you've got to lay.
Could be a thing too.
I think you've got to attribute the lion's share of the blame, Jay, to Checo Perez, mate. As far as not becoming vice champion and getting second place in the World Drivers Championship this year, just wasn't fast enough, often enough. I mean, you can win at Singapore, and you can win at Monaco. All these street circuits, of course, because it's rear limited, and that's your specialty. But you got to win more of the time. Checo needs to take some accountability of that, Jay. I'll be honest with you, man.
So let's say Checo takes accountability. Do you not think Red Bull have some part in Checo's lack of his success as Max's second driver?
In what sense, Jay? Be specific.
Car development?
Well.
Just maybe.
Yeah, no, I hear that argument. I do hear it.
A little bit. I think it's fair to say that. The other thing is...
Let me pose a question back to you, though, Jay. You're Red Bull, and you know for a fact, because of testing, CFD, et cetera, that the quickest car is a car that suits Max Verstappen as far as its handling dynamic, twitchy front end, all that good stuff.
Right.
Do you not do the same thing? We're hypothesizing and conjecturing, don't you, Jay?
No. No, what I do is I know the two drivers I have, and I make the adjustments to the driver according to what he like with and means. So we know Checo does not like a twitchy front end. He likes understeer more, right? So I'm gonna make sure the team facilitates that as much as possible within this design as we can to assist him. And I don't think Red Bull did that.
Jay, you know what, bruv? I'm calling you out now. I don't think Jay would the Jay of Wolfpack performance that I know, the ruthless right. Jay.
Right.
I don't think you do that, Jay.
No, I do that because really? I want Max to have what he needs and I want Perez to have as much as he can have within confines. But I want both of my drivers to be comfortable and I want them to be as fierce as they can. And if I only favor the two cars towards one driver, then I'm really doing myself a disservice with my second driver.
Right?
I mean, especially if I'm trying to make sure that I don't want Max Verstappen to have any additional competition out here leaving Red Bull, because the truth is Checo doesn't have to re-sign with Red Bull. He doesn't have to extend. True. And I think Red Bull, just like you know, and you're more analytical than I am. Like Cam behave. Is the purest off the rip. I'll come off the damn rope and damn slap you with some shit. I think you do know. I don't have to think. You do know Red Bull made a clever move to remove competition off the grid by acquiring a very good and skilled defensive driver in Perez.
Mm.
And with him in Red Bull, he is in pocket. With this situation that took place, it's clearly obvious to bring Danny Ric in, like you said, is a check type of pawn move that Checo, if you don't want to do what we're asking you to do, don't worry about it. We got somebody else who's in a far worse situation than you are, and they're going to make sure they do what we ask them to do just to have the opportunity to make podiums. At the end of the day, you don't want to see Perez in a very competitive car. So it's a trick. I will say this. It's a very delicate situation Red Bull has going on right now. But I will tell you this. Perez, to me, has disappointed me over the course of the year. I think he's been more submissive than I ever thought he would have been. And I think that is him. And I will say this. Max, man, that was some dirty shit Max did. Come on, that was some... I'm going to sit here with you because you're my brother. I'm a level. Perez has to take some accountability. Facts. You got to make some calls. Facts. But Max did some dirty shit, bro. He did some dirty shit, and he knows he did.
Let me ask you a question there, Jay. Which one was more reprehensible, Brazil or Abu Dhabi? From Max's perspective, which one does he get the death sentence for? Because it's an interesting question, you know. It's an interesting one.
Give me a little bit more.
So the argument goes then that in Abu Dhabi you should have given up sixth place, right? Which would have gained Checo Perez.
Abu Dhabi sixth place. That's that one.
Oh no, sorry.
Brazil sixth place. Abu Dhabi was okay. Go ahead.
So then Checo Perez goes into the final race 2 points ahead. The argument goes that if Checo Perez has those extra 2 points, then it gives Red Bull more strategic wiggle room, right? And potentially they don't balls up the strategy in Abu Dhabi. That's how that one goes. Although, Jay, I would argue, I think Abu Dhabi was more egregious, right? He's 8 seconds down the road. What you're telling, you know, Jay, you're telling me that you couldn't take your foot off the loud pedal, not even a little bit. Oh, don't want him to get within DRS. Well,
right.
1.1 seconds is the delta that you manage, right? Sure, I just don't. Yeah,
I'm going to tell you this, bro. I will agree with you this. I think Brazil was the building because we also can't forget the sprint. Perez asked for that in the sprint as well. There was an opportunity for him to get those points in the sprint before going into the GP. And then the GP just put a cherry on top of that whole fuckery. But then we come into Abu Dhabi and now Max set himself up for this final, which you say is more egregious. And I'm going to agree with you because of this. Max set himself up for this shit. Max said himself, he's going to have full support in Abu Dhabi, right? Full support.
If he needs it, yeah.
That first corner, Cam. Perez backed out just not to wreck two RB18s, bro. If that's the case, you open the door because nobody's catching the RB18 out there in free air if there's no reliability issues. We both noticed the RB18 is the fastest car on the grid. Credit to Adrian Newey. And I'm going to give Cam his credit in front of my family. We had a discussion earlier in the season, and my brother told me he would not bet against Adrian Newey. And I did. I'm not going to bet against him, but I'm going to say it. You were right. Adrian Newey, by far, is and Honda, very credible for the success of the RB18. You were correct. So I'm giving my brother his flyers in front of my family. I keep it real. But yeah, Abu Dhabi definitely more egregious, he didn't give him support. And then what's up with that lame duck radio message? Tell Perez to get on it. My tires are good, bro. Max, you're not doing shit for nobody, bro. You're not doing shit for nobody. The dog and pony show was not working, bro. It was pitiful. It was pitiful for him to even put that on the radio waves. He would have been better just staying in his form and just stay quiet and did what he did, man. Because like you said, he could have took that foot off the pedal. But listen, I know me and Cam, I can forget about that because when me and Cam, my brother, get together, we could just talk. So listen, let me open up the floor for questions. Y'all remember, one question each. You can have a rebut, but we want everybody else to have an opportunity. First hands up, I'm going to lower your hand. You're going to unmute yourself, and then we're going to go. I'm going to change the screen because we all record, so everybody that speaks your name will be on the front of the screen. So who wants the first question for Cameron F1? Oh, shit, look, Cam. They like, nah, we might want to just watch y'all talk. I don't even know if I got a question. We might want to just watch. Oh, well. Oh, there we go. Patrick, you got it first, bro. You was quick on it. Y'all got to be fast in that. I'm going to lower your hand, bro, and mute yourself. Go ahead, Patrick.
Evening. How are you doing? Can you hear me?
Evening, Patrick. Yeah, we got you, loud and clear, sir.
Yeah. How you doing, Cam? Good seeing you.
I'm all right, bro. I'm all right, man. I'm surviving, sobrevivo, as they say in Spain.
Trebon. Right. My question on this matter of what are we hearing about Benito leaving. Do you really actually feel the guy was doing a good work with the team, capable of making them get to the championships as he started out from the last year, and I think the last year before? And do you actually feel that he was capable to stick being the team principal for Ferrari and they shouldn't let him go? What's your answer to that?
Holy smokes, Patrick. Get into the big stuff straight away.
That's what Patrick do.
Listen, I'll read you out. You know, as I was doing a bit of due diligence on this before I go live after this, I found out that if you compare Arriva Benni was at Ferrari team principal between 2015 and 2018, Benotto 2019 to 2022. So Benotto has 23 poles to his name. That's a pole percentage of 28%. Arriva Benni has 14% pole percentage. But when you look at everything else, Arriva Benni just trumps him. Arriva Benni has 14 wins to Benotto's 7, 17.2 win percentage versus 8% of Benotto. Podium 71, plays 47. So Arriva Benni just completely blows Benotto out the water. To your question specifically, sir, again, I don't want to reiterate the point that I made to Jay earlier on, but I'm not sure that Benotto is wholly culpable for the nonsense that we saw at that team last year. Partially, of course, but there's so many other things in there, being operational, managerial, title sponsors, prioritizing conflicting demands, driver unforced errors, both Sainz and bloody Charles Leclerc. So I just think there's a lot. Here's what I will say to that, mate. Hot take. I wouldn't be surprised, even if they did get Ross Brawn to try and steady that Scuderia Ferrari ship, I wouldn't be surprised if we see very similar unforced errors across the board throughout next season. And this time next year, we'll be having similar conversations. I wouldn't be surprised.
I agree. And right. One more. Can I just add a bit more? Of Ross Brawn leaving the FIA, wasn't that a bit shocking as well to, you know, feel uncomfortable because of the rules that he said last year about anyone breaking, any of the team breaking the rules, right, will certainly be penalized, but it didn't seem to follow this year, did it?
That's a good shout. So I think he's done a bit of done the old tax avoidance thing there as Ross. So I think the pertinent word on that phrase is fraudulently. Anybody seen to be fraudulently breaching the cost cap will be met with, this thing has teeth. So the argument that we're going to have back and forth, Patrick, did Red Bull fraudulently break the cost cap? And it's kind of like, I don't know, good luck proving that. Of course they breached the cost cap and they should get a penalty for that. But did they fraudulently? Was it a mistake or did they do it knowingly?
And it's I feel they do it sneaky. I call it sneaky because they did work on that car and how fast it came. But look on it, previous years back, they were slow. Why didn't they do it then?
I suppose Patrick, it's tough to know for sure, right? We'll never know. We'll never be able to unless you've got an insider in the garage. We'll never know for sure. And then and then to your other point, Patrick, super quick. I wasn't surprised about Ross Brawn leaving. You know what the joke is? I'll be honest with you. Shows how much I pay attention. I thought that he'd already left, mate. I'll be honest with you. I did, Jay. I thought that he was already gone. I feel like 24 months ago, he said that he was going to do another 12 months and then leave. Right. I just presumed he'd already gone when I was watching that. Yeah.
All right, hey, Patrick, man, make sure you keep us going, bro, because, you know, I know you're going to come with the smoke and the fire, so hold something for me, man. Patrick don't have a six-shooter, man. That's just two of those things. He got FOMO ready. We're going to go to Mary Beanie. Patrick, make sure you keep your hand up, bro. I'm going to circle back to you. All right, let me see who we got. Mary Beanie, go ahead. I'm going to lower your hand. You can unmute yourself.
Hey, Cam.
What's going on? Who's this character? Who's this?
I've never met this person. Yes, it's one of your moderators here.
How are you doing, Mary? Nothing but love always.
I've got a few thoughts on Ferrari. I think Bonotto, he should have just stuck to what he was hired to do initially. And that he was an engineer for years with Ferrari. I don't think Ross Brawn would even touch that. I mean, he's just like, nothing now. He's like, shot himself in the foot with that one. But I think they should go through the ranks of Ferrari and clear the whole lot of them out. I don't think it's just doing the team principal. I think Bonotto was a sort of a bit of a scapegoat for the higher ranks in Ferrari. Yeah, me personally, I think I've been thinking about this since yesterday. I think it's the either bring back Maurizio, Riva Bene, or I must have been dreaming this last night because I thought yet Rubens Barrichello.
Oh my gosh, Barry, Mary, that's left field. Where did you get that from?
I don't know. I'm just thinking because I think in my head, Ferrari owes him big time after what they forced him to do with Schumacher. You remember the race that Rubens should have won?
Oh, yeah, I do remember.
So I'm thinking, well, he's only a chance because I think Seb is going to come back when Audi comes back. And Nick is going to be in that RB seat because he's buddy-buddy with Maxipad.
Yeah, it's techie, Mary. I don't see Rubens. I did see rumour that Seb, but I think it's too soon, right? He wants to spend some time with his family for a little while. Give him a year. I think the most likely candidate is this Frederick Vasseur fella, the guy that's at Alfa Romeo currently. I think it'll be him. I don't know a lot about him, Mary, to say whether he can succeed or fail, but a couple of conversations that I've seen of him, though, Mary, I do like the cut of his jib, if that counts for anything.
Mm-hmm. I think, well, because Alfa Romeo will be Alfa Romeo next year, won't it? They're changing their name.
Say that again, sorry, Mary?
Alfa Romeo, they're changing their name next year, aren't they?
Oh,
or is it the year after? I thought it was next season.
I'm not even going to say, I don't want to misinform. I feel like Audi might have lined them up, but at some point ignore me. I'm talking rubbish. I don't know.
I haven't heard anything on that. I'm going to look into it before I say anything on it. Hey, Mary, we're going to give Maria a second and then we're going to come back around.
No problem,
dude. You know you got it. Maria Duncan, I'm going to lower your hand. Unmute yourself. You got the mic.
Okay, can you hear me okay, Jay?
Sure can.
Okay, great, because I have a headpiece on. If it starts sounding funky, let me know, okay?
Got you. You sound great.
All right, thanks. Cameron, it's so good to see you in the Wolves Den. How are you?
Maria, I am good, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. Okay. Let me start off by giving you your props, because I have to tell you, I just love you. Your podcast is one of the best out there on YouTube. I've enjoyed your podcast immensely, especially the one with Peter Windsor, the one where he was describing how Abu Dhabi 2021 should have gone.
My guy. You know,
in terms of the ending, I mean, I had tears in my eyes. That was such a moving, beautiful moment. And so anyway, I just want to give you your props, notwithstanding the, I think, the effusive compliments you give Max sometimes, which kind of annoy me. I'll be honest, keeping it real. But I think overall, you have a very balanced podcast. So I just want to acknowledge you for that. So that said, I have a question for you, but I want to preface my question with a comment to kind of set the stage.
Sure.
So you're a longtime F1 fan. I've only been watching for a couple of years. I came over to F1 really because of Lewis Hamilton. I started following him, loved who he was. I said, let me check out this racing thing. I fell in love with Formula One, but then I fell out of love with it by Abu Dhabi, just because of the nonsense, the injustice of the stewarding, all of that. I really struggle with unfairness in any form, but especially in sports. And so to watch them let Max get away with his on-track dirty driving, you know, running Lewis off the track in Brazil with no, you know, investigation necessary, the brake test in Jeddah with the slap on the wrist, and then culminating in that fiasco in Abu Dhabi, that just was kind of like it for me. I struggled to start watching again this year. I couldn't even watch the last race. I don't know if I can watch going forward, especially after the cost cap breach and the slap on the hand Red Bull got for, you know, for that. It just seems to me that the FIA, they're just not, to call them a governing body is almost a joke at this point. So my question to you, Cam, is this. As a longtime F1 viewer and fan, how has your love for the sport been impacted by the lack of governance that we've witnessed on behalf of the FIA this past year? And maybe it's even been longer than that. But for sure, this past year, where clearly it looks like it's gone from, you know, we're going to make sure the sport is fair, to more, we're going to make sure this sport is entertaining. I would just like to know how that's impacted you.
Oh, that's a good one.
Here, mate. A good one. Understatement of the year. Superb question. Jeez, where do I start with that? And listen, first and foremost, Jay's like, how about it, Cameron? Good luck with that one. But first and foremost, Maria, listen, I appreciate all the kind sentiments. You're an absolute legend and humbled, truly. Just trying to do my best out here, talking F1 with like-minded people. And that's what we're looking to do on the channel, eh? With my brother from the Wolves, then Jay of Wolfpack Performance. To your question, Maria, you know, I feel like it's weird. You hit on something that's really interesting, right? Because we all view F1 and sports more broadly through very vastly different lenses, right? Depending on lots of different things, nature versus nurture, the route that we took into the sport. So if I speak to that for a second, my very first season properly watching, and again, I'm going to reveal my age, 1994, and that was the year that Senna passed, and that was the year when I was backing Damon Hill all the way. And in essence, for want of a better turn of phrase, he was robbed because Michael Schumacher wasn't punished for a very dodgy move, not dissimilar to the sort of stuff, the shenanigans that we've seen Max doing in over the past couple of seasons, 2, 3, 4. So when Damon Hill wasn't awarded unjustly, that was like my very first introduction. That incident took my innocence virginity as far as F1's concerned. So I've kept since, that's all that I've ever known then, Maria, to your point. And I mean, if you want to take it further back, you want to go back to 89 and 90, the Balastra stories and Senna, and then you've got 97 at Jerez and Jacques Villeneuve and Michael Schumacher. It's always been super corrupt. That doesn't mean to say that I'm not surprised by it and not disappointed by it, especially when it's as egregious as what we saw in 2021 at Abu Dhabi. But it's... we shouldn't be surprised. And Maria, sadly, you know what? That won't be the last time, because we've seen microcosms, examples this year when the FIA, the race director, they've got it wrong massively. Okay, so it hasn't been as consequential as Abu Dhabi 2021, but that's not to say at some point in the very near future, it won't be. I mean, if you look at these guys are still having bloody accidents because of weaving on the straight. Peter Windsor, to your point, Maria, thinks that those accidents on the straights, that weaving is potentially the most life-threatening thing that you can do on a racetrack. Yeah, I mean, flipping Gilles Villeneuve, that's how he died from a similar incident. So they need to be more proactive, to your point, Maria. But yeah, and still, each and every time it disappoints me. I just wish they'd just RIP Charlie Whiting in conclusion. That's all I can say to that, Maria. They need to get some proper, consistent, proactive, hardline racer types as the race directors, because otherwise we're going to be doomed to repeat the mistakes of the very recent past, unfortunately. I hope that answers your question, Maria. Sorry I rambled.
No,
that was great. I just want to know, though, so for you going forward, you're still fully on board with F1 and you just take it as par for the course, it sounds like, right? It's like we have to expect that these things are going to happen. And if we love the sport, we just got to hang in there. That's what it sort of sounds like.
Sadly, Maria, and it's hypocritical of me because we should be marching, right? We should be doing more. We should be like Jay set up.
Yes, let's get our signs and go to the FIA.
we should be
Champs-Élysées.
You know what, though, Marie? You make a really good point, right? Platforms like Wolfpack Performance are in a position now where we can start making a difference. Jay did a good thing and put together the petition. But soon, as our platforms and our voices continue, you've seen it go out like wildfire on Twitter. They would have done ish post Abu Dhabi, but for the likes of Mary and Quickstop and Jay on Twitter kicking up a storm, right? So over the next few years, hopefully these platforms will continue to grow and accordingly our voices will be heard more loudly so we can start affecting being the change that you want to see, Maria. Hopefully.
Our platforms.
Amen to that. Thank you, Cam.
Our platform.
Thanks, Maria.
Thank you, Maria. That was very good. And I'm gonna say something else. Cam is not trying, he's doing. All right, these platforms take a lot of time and people have to understand that certain faces like ours within the space is already something that comes very odd. So, you know, for Cam to take the approach that he takes, sometimes he's going to get criticism in a whole different light than I will get criticism, you know. So Cam walks a very fine line because he's going to definitely be more analytical. And he's going to be more cautious about the things he'll say. And that's what really benefits Cam. He's going to really, really, really think about it before he talks. Me, on the other hand, I'm like a straight shooter. I'm going to come out the pocket and be like, bow. You know, it is what it is. And I love the fact that my brother has his platform. I have my platform. And that's what gives the diversity. But he's not trying. He's doing. You know, and I heard him say trying earlier. And I just want to tell him that you're not trying, you're doing, bro.
Bruv, and let me send you back some flowers as well, Jay, because I think after a while, the longer your tenure is in this content creation game, especially around F1, Jay, the veil will slip, right? There is no acting around here. The longer and deeper that you get in the game, the more that you are going to have to shoot for the hit. Of course, you want to be considered and well thought out and present your arguments in a way that's coherent. And ultimately, ultimately, for the most part, we all do that, Jay, to a certain extent, right? But it is truth saying, and that is a subjective truth, but it is nevertheless, you're going to disagree with me sometimes, like you said, Maria, like I'm going to wax lyrical about Max Verstappen sometimes too much. And Maria's going to want to slap me in my face for doing it. But I'm catchphrasing, right? I'm saying what I see and as I ingest it. So forgive me for that.
We're going to go to the next one. Patrick, you got the mic. I'm going to lower your hand, unmute yourself. Matter of fact, Patrick, before you speak, Wildcat, Reezy, Galacticus, Eric, Dario, it's good to see y'all in here. Don't forget, you know, you got questions, man. Cam is here. He's going to answer all questions. Go ahead, put your hand up. Don't be afraid. Time will run out. When time runs out, you know I'm going to pick that last person who's going to close us out the back door, so you better get those hands up. Go ahead, Patrick. You got it, bro.
Yep. Cam.
Yo.
I want to ask you a good question. You said about in the 80s of the Formula Ones. You remember that?
No, I don't remember it personally, but I've been back since. I can talk to it. Go on, Patrick, ask me the question and I'll do my best.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna state to you that I'm in the category from the 80s, but not the 80s born. I was seeing that from the 70s, along with Senna, as you said, Nicky Lauda and all the rest, and even James Hunt. But do you actually feel that from those past centuries, that this Formula One now is not quite matching the previous years to make a great entertainment and making us all capture the fun times to see it back into this year going on stronger and stronger forever. Because as myself, like I said, Mary as well, and many others, including yourself, I love the podcast, but I'm going to check up on your podcast, so I'll slip that in. And I feel that, don't you actually think that we should have that fun, atmospheric race, Connecticut, back again to this season going?
Oh, I like.
I tell you, Jay said I'm dangerous because at the end of it, I'm a guy who's been into the Formula One, and I've loved the Formula One ever since watching James Hunt and all those guys.
Oh.
Seeing it up to this previous year now, I feel, and Maria said it too, the last two races, I can't even watch that. I got it recorded, and I don't even feel I want to check all the views to see what's been said, even heard about, even yourself, even with Jay. I don't even think I can catch it up because it does not hold what the previous year hold. It's like you're holding a drink. You love the taste. You love the flavor, the look. But the color is not right.
Let's go. Pareto principle. 80% of it is there. 20% is absent. Patrick, I will say this to you very quickly in summary. I don't want to be, Jay will tell you that I am this sometimes, but I really try my best not to be the old guy at the bar, at the pub, talking about back in my day, these lot won't know they're born. Like, I don't want to be that, but I do have the tendency to sound like that. Here's what I'll say. I think the FIA and Liberty Media have done good things over the past, let's say, 5 years. And that's, listen, manifest in that, proof positive of that is the fact that North American rights sold to ESPN 3 or 4 years back for $5 million. Now, the other day, I want to say last year, they sold for $75 million. So the scope is growing, particularly in North America, right? It's changing, Patrick. It is different to what it was, even back in my day with Hill and Schumacher. It's a very different sport. Even as far as the cars are a different beast, right? Bigger, less agile, and... much Sticker. Harder to, yeah, exactly. They were back in the day. So as a microcosm, I hear what you're saying, Patrick, and I am with you, but I just, lest I sound like the old guy at the bar talking about
guy.
Back in my, I'm 56. Patrick, I'm a stone throw behind you, sir. But I hear what you're saying, but I don't want to.
I know. I respect that because to the fact of it, we can't say. Like myself, as the old guys, but I know the older guys. I've been like you, listening to them going like, yeah, back in my time, these cats don't know shit, man. They don't understand it. We need to get them all educated, right? But the thing is, you said it right there, and it's changing. That's the word, changing, right? It's not coming, it's not calculating, and it's not even predicted. Censorating. If you see my point, when I say that word, censorating, that means it's not coming forward to make everybody see it clearly. What it is mystifying every time. And at the same time you try to see clearly through it, it's covering up again. And then when it comes to the truth, oh my God, you're going to think, what the hell has happened? Why didn't it come clean?
I, you know, Patrick, I'd love to argue with you, but I can't.
No. It's not an argument. No, I hear you. But it's like that. It's definitely what you said. And I totally agree. The changing. We need to make sure these stick correctly and operate correctly so that we all are on the same path, same wave, and then like the track itself, moving on it.
Don't disagree with that,
Roger,
sir.
Roger that. Patrick, appreciate you on that. Mary, we're going to come to you, but before we go to Mary, Patrick, Patrick's probably going to be the one to close us out. Derek, we're going to go to Hillian, and then we're going to go to Mary, and then I'm probably going to get time in there for one other person, depending on how the flow goes. But I'll be looking for somebody to close us out. And Patrick, if that's you, then if you could just put your hand back up, bro, so I can go to you on the closeout.
Okay.
All right. Helium, bro, you got the mic. I'm going to lower your hand. Unmute yourself. Helium, before you go, I want to say this. Big shout out to the Wildcat family. We do have a family member that lost a family member. So if they lost one, then we lost one. So big shout out and condolences to the Wildcat family.
Yeah, my condolences, Wildcat. Big fan of both you guys' podcasts. My main question is more towards the 2023 season and more specifically for the new Audi team. I just wanted to get your guys' intake on How do you think the team will perform? Do you guys think they will be, you know, competitive and or what the possible driver lineups are?
Oof. I'm going to have to defer to Jay. See, this is where, even as an F1 content creator, I'm going to be honest,
Hold on, Cam, because I want you to be heard clear. Hillian, if you got like a mic or a speaker up on another end, turn it down because it's causing an echo effect.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, there you go, Cam. Go ahead.
So I'll be open and honest to that. It's a good question, Derwin. And I'm too noddy an F1 fan and too noddy an F1 content creator and haven't peaked my head above that to ingest it yet. So, Derwin, I can't, honestly, mate, I don't know. I genuinely don't know. I can't answer that, nor can I speak to it because I don't know. I think Jay will speak to this as well. Being an F1 content, and this is me, I am about to make a big excuse, Derwin. We're reporting, right? We're reporting. So we have a responsibility to cover the breadth and depth of the sport, everything that's going on as at today, right? So whether that's Binotto or the Nuance or who are we going to hire next or Ross Brawn retiring and going after shit. Like, we've got to cover all of it. Max Verstappen getting gifted a Honda NSX Type S at the hot. Like, we've got to cover the whole of it. So I think you guys will look at us and be like, well, you should know everything. And so I think we're 80% of there, again, to cite Pareto principle. But let me not say for Jay because he's more knowledgeable than I, but I definitely have blind spots. And Derwin, apparently you've hit on one of them, mate.
Okay. Hey, I respect that. Hey, my bro, we're going to keep it real with y'all. We're going to go to Mary, you got the mic. I'm going to lower your hand, and it looks like Maria might backdoor us on this. So go ahead, Mary. You got the mic. I'm going to lower your hand.
Yeah, I'm going to give props to Maria because Cam knows that's the one thing that used to make me mad. He's got on and on about Max. I was like, come on, Cam. Really?
True.
But I love you.
Right, number back at love. You, Mary.
Nothing right. But love. But I think Red Bull's going to be over the cost cap, like next season as well. Because to be fair, they really only go away with it because of the poison to Worf. Because he was involved in it with Ben Solomon. He was involved in that, the discussions. They even got less than a slap in the wrist compared to what they won.
Say that again, Mary. What was the? I missed the bit where you said the only reason they got away with it was because
of the poison dwarf, Mr. Eccleston. Yes. Because he's friends with Horner and he's also friends with Ben Solomon. That's how they got away with it. I think they'll be over again next season. Because I'm at the stage now, it's Mercedes need to bring it for me. Because after AD 2021, I was devastated. I mean, I was mad. I smashed my phone up and everything. I'm mad, like really mad. It's taken a lot for me to even watch a race, but I never watched any AD this year. Never watched any of it because I couldn't bring myself to watch it. Not even free practice, nothing. I couldn't see that track again. It's like too soon. It's coming up to the year's anniversary shortly. But I think if Mercedes didn't bring it, I'm ready to go down to Brackley and camp out.
Let's and go.
See what the hell are you playing at?
Let's go.
I want Lewis to get at least 10. I think he's going to be here for another like 5 seasons, tops. I think so. But I'm more interested and what's going to happen between Mr. Shorty and Papa Stroll next year. That is going to be juicy and spicy.
Oh,
what is your take, Cam?
Appreciate that, Mary. How many
mutual mics so we can go to the next one, though?
Mary, you've killed
it. He's going to answer your question, though. We're not going to skip over Mary's question. Go ahead, Cam.
Go on. There's about 10 different levers that I need to pull out there to answer the full scope of Mary's question. So go on, let's do it in reverse order. So Alonso versus Stroll. Listen, I know you're not a big fan of Alonso, Mariano. He's not a great guy, right? You're never going to hold up Fernando Alonso as the beacon of what it is to be a human being, a humanitarian, altruism. He's just not that guy, right? He's out for himself, as most of them are on the grid, ironically, as we're learning.
Cam, well, I think Mr. Shortley is unrepeatable.
Bleep, bleep, bleep.
Well, I think him. After what he'd done in Hungary 2007, no danger.
But Mary, you're taking me there.
Give Cam a chance. Mary, give Cam a chance to answer your question.
So go on then. Mary's hit on Hungary. Mary, you know Hungary was a response, Mary. You know that, right?
Yeah.
That was vengeance from Alonso because he was meant to get the hot lap first and Lewis didn't give him because he was a young hothead in 2007.
Yeah,
and
but
decided that it was his turn.
Yeah, but the way Ron Dennis grabbed his trainer and shoved him right off the pit wall, that was class.
That was good. That was good. Drama.
It was pretty fun.
But go on then, Mary. Let me run through quickly. I think Alonso will have... The joke is that I think we should put some respect on Lance Stroll's name because at one time he was like... Latifi was here and Lance Stroll was here, right? Like they were... But I think Lance's put in some performances. Okay, so he was dangerous. He was weaving on the straight from time to time and he had that crash with Latifi early on in Australia. But I think Lance Stroll has shown improvement, but yet and still not enough improvement to beat Fernando Alonso because I think that dude is, if we're talking, if the hierarchy goes Lewis, Max, I think Alonso is just, is right there with those two in equal machinery. Probably just a millimetre behind. Mary, I can't even remember your other points, man. There was too many. Oh, so how did Red Bull... I'll finish on this because I know there's other people with their hand up. How did Red Bull get away with the cost cap? I think there's a couple of things in there. I think they were helped by the fact that it was a new regulation and that I don't even think, again, to Maria's point... like, did the governing body even know what they were doing? Did they? I know it's a 500-page document, but did they know? Like, I mean, I feel like nobody knew how to enforce that. I don't even think they knew what they were enforcing first time round. And not to mention Ukraine and Russia and inflation's going crazy and COVID and all this stuff is going on. So I'm not sure that even next year, maybe going down to 135 million, I'm not sure that's even realistic, if I'm honest, in a world where inflation's 10% plus in the UK. So then you want to keep it just based on that alone, right? You need to keep it flat or add 10%, not reduce by another 10 million. So
yeah.
I don't know how these guys are going to cope with that and provide the same level of service, being honest, Mary, but that's my thoughts.
Yeah. But everyone, I just meant to say, you can. Everyone in the live chat on Sunday voted for that background, so you need to keep it. Everyone.
It's better, isn't it? It's not a bad background. Again, I'm trying to keep up with my brother Jay from Wolfpack Performance. Look at that. He's got tracks and all sorts. Kota in the background there, man. I need to get to that level at some point.
You need a wee picture at the back, Cam.
Something, Mary.
A wee picture at the back.
Look at my things all plain and, yeah, it's not as good as
you. You could probably put your husband at the back there, Cam. Probably put Peter at the back. I'm very sorry, Jay.
Hold on. Oh, appreciate it, Mary. New old school. What did you say? Something in the chat. Why don't you go ahead and say it? I think you got a good point. Why don't you go ahead and let the family know what you said? He said something about... Damn, let me find it. See what you think about this, Cam.
Cool.
Says something about no F1 legends will come from the current grid.
Oof.
Try to ask him. He might as well say it himself. He's here. That's what we all for. If you have a family member and you're here, like, it's an open floor, so you can talk. It's not like a comment section. Like, you can just comment and nobody gets to you.
We're
so
talking.
If you raise your hand, just go ahead and talk. If not, then we'll go to Patrick. Patrick, you up next. I'm going to lower your hand. Unmute yourself. Maria, you probably going to take us out. You're going to take us out the back door, Maria, so hold tight.
Yeah. I saw that question, what you were asking about new school did. It was something to do with current drivers and be like totals.
New old school.
Oh, hold on. There you go. Patrick, he's going to ask it himself. Patrick, hold on. I'm going to come right back to you. Don't mute your mic, Patrick. No, go ahead. New old school. Go ahead.
legends.
What'd you say?
Is he on the phone? You sound like you're on the phone.
New old school. Come closer to the mic, sir.
Yeah,
well, it's the laptop. I can't stand laptops. Basically, the legends I was talking about, to me, there are no current F1 legends I see in any of the drivers. They're boy racers. They're brats. They're spoiled.
New old school. New old school.
What do you think about that, Cal? Oh, I don't hate it, but again, new old school. What are we doing here? Back in my day, this is the conversation. Back in my day, they were proper racers. They were. And it is changed. It is changed. I hear what you're saying. Listen, low-hanging fruit. If Lewis Hamilton is still on the grid, then, we've got to give him legendary status. And I think there are a few on the come up. Lots of people say that Lando potentially could be the next one. Charles Leclerc potentially could be legendary. Max Verstappen, obviously, having won two or one, depending on who you talk to. But I think there are some guys. I think it'd be interesting to see new old school over the next... I want to say the next 2 to 3 years. I think some of these guys are capable and will show their hand, particularly.
Agreed. I won't be a grey-faced old North London man, but I will say...
North London, mate.
Let's go. Manchester, like.
Yeah, Leclerc. I did like Russell, but he just seems... I'll give up.
Say that again. Sorry, new old school.
I like him. Russell, I thought he was a team player.
Go on then, new old school. Let me pose you back another question before I hand to Maria because she's...
Yeah, before we go back to Patrick. We got Patrick and then we're going to go to Maria.
I will pose this back to you, sir. In order to satisfy your first criterion, greatness, isn't that what George Russell's showing, that selfishness and not necessarily being the greatest team player? Isn't that a prerequisite? Can you have the first without the second, new old school?
I tell you what, when the new season starts, yeah, we talk then.
Okay, cool. Bet.
It's a cop out. I'm doing a cop out right now.
Bet, as Jay would say, elite peddler. Thank you so much, new old school. Appreciate it.
Hey, appreciate you, man.
Nice one.
All right, man. Take it easy. Yeah. Patrick, go ahead, bro, with yours.
Well, as New School said about the Formula Legends, yeah. Cameron, you also mentioned about Russell. Mm. I like how you point that out because he has to know his potential. He's had to know his quality in the team. And it's not just I and team, as we all keep hearing that catchphrase. He has to know to balance the team and keep it going. So, yeah. He's coming up in the legendary case, but he has to still get more proof to be qualified into earning that title, right?
Mm, good. Absolutely.
Lando, I see Lando is definitely doing it as well, but he's not getting that recognition because sometimes with the car, it let him down, just like Daniel Ric when he actually tried to push the car and he kept saying, I'm not getting the power, I'm not getting anything, I'm not getting. And every time they kept saying to him, Danny, keep going. Keep trying, keep doing it. Then he get fed up. And that's why I don't like how they treated him. But with Lando, it's doing the same repeat, ghostly, but what they need to actually do is keep him going. Because he's been there before Danny Ric. Look at him and Carlos Sainz. The two of them were even the same way, like battling to try and prove one another, but they work well. So this is what we want to see with Danny Ric wanted to do with Lando, but he's not getting it. So Lando is now their main butter. And who is it?
Oscar Piastri.
Now he's coming into the program and he's also an Australian, another fellow teammate of Danny Ric's. Because you remember Mark Webber? With Vettel that time?
Absolutely, yeah.
Right. Did you not see how that was played out as well?
Yeah, but this is the, like, super quickly, mate. This is the issue with having a team that's purely a meritocracy, right? So I'm all for racing, like, similar to you, Patrick. Me and you cut from the same fabric, right? We're old school and no pun intended.
Okay, you're my brother now.
Yeah, yeah, we're old school in the way that we think and ingest F1. But I will say that the oldest story in F1 history is teams giving away championships by not, by wanting to be too fair and too much of a meritocracy, right? You need the route from A to B as far as now and getting to a world drivers championship. The path of the line of least resistance is always having a number one and a number two. And if you have Sir Lewis Hamilton, to quote my guy Peter Windsor, then I'm not sure you need a guy. Again, if we're doing a line of least resistance thing from A to B, I'm not sure that you need a guy as aggressive and ruthless and self-serving as George Russell in that second seat next to Hamilton.
Yeah, you're right. I give you that. And final pit on my part before I really do end up last.
Go ahead, Patrick. You got it. Maria, you next.
Is when you said about the cut from the same cloth, that's my mentality. You, Jay, and myself, Maria, everyone, okay? But the three of us, if we're like the Bermuda Triangle. Because if I get along with you guys, God help those out there to say, you don't know knowledge. You don't understand. Jay, when you say things like that as well, that's me. That's
Patrick, why I call you my twin. Patrick, let me interrupt you super quickly because I'm definitely gonna get and divorce if I don't hop out of here within the next 120 right. seconds. Patrick, I will say this to you though. I don't want to put on my gatekeeping cap, right? Just because I've been in the sport since 90. Look at this now, Jay. When did you start? So Jay started. I started 2016. Jay started content creating.
I started content creating on F1 like 2021.
But Jay knows.
I started watching Formula One for like years back, right?
But look at this. Like
2000.
So look at it. So Jay's a 2000 baby in that sense. But Jay knows infinitely more than me. So who am I to come across and gatekeep the sport just because I've got a longer length of service in watching? Because there were guys and girls coming along who were deeper as far as their technical nous and understanding of the game, their race awareness, watching real time than I ever could be, regardless of the fact that I'm knee deep in the game for the past 100 years or whatever. I've got I have zero place in gatekeeping this sport. So I don't care if you came in via Drive to Survive, you've been watching a year, if you've been watching 100 years, I'm just, listen, everybody, each to their own, Patrick, and everybody watches the sport.
I'll give you that.
A very different lens.
Now, I'll give you that before you disappear, and I'm going to stop there quickly. But 2016, you said, that's where I remember you. 2016. And I think I did subscribe to you, but never keep up with you.
Yeah.
And I remember you do commentate on things like what Jay has done, but you have been doing it. That's how come I can, you know what?
Right.
You are right. Same crop. Twin.
Right.
My third twin.
There you go. There you go. Appreciate it, Patrick. Sir.
Nice.
Hey, big fact. Hey, Cam, that what you said right there, bro, that's monumental right there for real. And also, we're going to have somebody on here also that believes in that. And she's gonna come on here and bless it. I'm in the talks with her right now, so we're going to see about that. But Cam makes a very good point. I know a lot of people get the criticism of like, okay, they just watched Formula One this year, last year, the year before. We have a family member, we have a community of people that have been watching Formula One for decades. I'm talking about Mary, Nall. I'm talking about damn Dave. We got Patrick. We got Galaxy. Like, people in here, and I'm not meaning to miss anybody. I'm just trying not to keep the list just going and going and going. Several of y'all, Blue Diva, like, several of you all have been watching, like, Formula One for decades. So it's funny to me when I respond to comments in my videos of people that say the community only been watching Formula for 20 or 21, I just sit back and wait sometimes for one of y'all to hit it. Because I know I got some great white sharks swimming in that water. I don't have to do nothing. I just got to sit back and give the, okay. Okay. Hey, Maria Duncan, you going to bless us and close us out the back door. Maria, go ahead, unmute yourself. I'm going to lower your hand.
Okay, thank you. Cameron, I have one more flower to give you.
Oh.
And that is that my daughter is a singer-songwriter, and she came in and heard you, just heard your voice and asked who you were. And I told her you're an F1, you know, content creator. And she said that you could make a fortune in voiceover work. Oh. Just keep that in mind because your voice is so amazing.
Oh,
so, I have one last question taking us out. And that is just based on what we saw this in the past year or so by the FIA And, you know, silly things like their jewelry ban, which was clearly, you know, targeting Lewis Hamilton. Do you feel that the FIA / Formula One is trying to push Lewis out of Formula One? Because you even hear the pundits talking about, you know, opining as to whether or not Lewis's time in the sport has come and gone. If he has it, Bernie Ecclestone and others saying Lewis should retire. What are your thoughts? Do you think they're trying to push him out, or what's up with that?
You know, Maria, it's a theory. Maria comes with fire, absolute fire each and every Maria. And listen, pass on my regards to your young daughter. I appreciate it each and every single time. I thought that once upon a time, Maria, but I think proof positive was the way that of the FIA realizing that Lewis Hamilton is the cash cow, still the first mainstream crossover star that F1's had in God knows how long, probably since Michael Schumacher. And you can argue then that Michael didn't cross over in the same way that Lewis has. Proof positive that the FIA, the governing body, realised is the way they ultimately sold for the Abu Dhabi circumstance. Because had they not got rid of Massey, I don't think we would have ever seen Sir Lewis Hamilton come back in F1. We were waiting, if you remember, he'd gone on a massive hiatus, no social media from Sir Lewis Hamilton. And I feel like somewhere behind the scenes, there was conversations had with key stakeholders, Toto Wolff, Sir Lewis Hamilton, and Mohammed bin Sulayem. And they agreed that the only way to solve for this, the only way to bring Sir Lewis Hamilton back into the fore, back into F1, was to solve for the Michael Massey problem, which meant initially repositioning him and then ultimately getting rid of him. So I hear what you're saying as far as pushing him out. But again, Liberty Media have kind of changed that narrative ever so slightly, because ultimately, Maria, all they care about is their bottom line, cash rules everything around me, cream, get the money, dollar bills. That's all that Liberty Media care about. And Sir Lewis Hamilton absolutely forwards, pushes forth that agenda if you are a Liberty Media stakeholder. So I think maybe a couple of years ago, cool. But I think Liberty Media, they're aware of which side their bread is buttered.
Good one.
Thank you, Maria. Cameron. Thank you.
Thank you, Maria.
Hey, Maria, that was solid. I love that. Good job.
Jeez, Maria.
Hey, Maria, she be, hey, man, when she do come in, she be banging. I'm telling you, her Mesker, Nall, like, man, when they do a super chat or they fire. Do something like that, bro, it's going to be, you hot can't fire. Read this shit and then hot just fire. All the way through. Usually it's going to be something that pop you in your face like, damn,
fire.
They come with the bangers. So, like, I really appreciate all the family. But right now what I'm going to do is give my brother an opportunity to let you all know if you don't know, because I don't want to assume that you do know. Cam, tell these people where they can come get you, bro.
Oh, bro, thank you so much. Thank you for having me on. And listen, anytime you've got a cheeky spot, Jay, I'm happy to come back and support you in the fantastic work that you're doing over here. You can find me on Cameron F1 at Cameron F1 YT, I think, on Twitter. Oh,
that's gosh. How many platforms this man got.
I'll just give you two. Cameron F1 YT on Twitter and Cameron F1 on YouTube. And again, we'll be doing chats just the same night, Jay, right? Yeah.
F1 hey, content I'm going to make it easy for you all. When this video is going to post on YouTube, you all know, YouTube watchers and viewers, if you're seeing this and you wonder why you weren't in here, it's because you're not a Wolfpack family member. That's easy. You can click join, be a Wolfpack family member. That gives you the opportunity to not only contribute, but also come in here, talk to the guests, but also be a part of some of the great things that the Wolfpack family does. We've done a lot of things this year. We're going to do more going forward. We're more than just about Formula One. We're more about community and helping. So we're always looking and trying to formulate new ideas that we can have outreach stuff. So we're going to be doing more of that next year. And also, big shout out, like I said, and condolences to one of our family members who lost a family member. So big shout out to Wildcat. If you all want to participate in the e-racing that's going to take place this Saturday live, you need to go ahead and send me your gamer tag, and then you can go ahead and participate in that race. But other than that, we're going to get ready to peace out. We will see you all later. You can listen to this on the podcast and on YouTube. So we'll see y'all later. Peace.
This brings us to another successful Performance Talk podcast. Thanks for joining the podcast family. Don't forget, if you want to enjoy the audio and visual experience of this podcast, you can go over to the Instagram page at Wolfpack Performance, where we go live Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, new episodes will drop here at wolfpackperformance.podbean.com at 12 noon on Saturdays. If you need help with your build, tips, tricks, and hacks, you can check out the YouTube channel for DIY videos at Wolfpack Performance. And like I always say, anything in life is worth building, so just build it.